taps it straight to Smith. Hand pass. Here it is. Selwood's onto it. Outside of the boot. Hangs it up. It floats. Oh, captain! My captain! Perhaps the signature moment of the 2022 Grand Final. Joel Selwood, surrounded by his teammates for years of loyal service, for all the records that have come his way. He's going to finish the day with the Premiership Cup in hand.
And today dawns for all of those Geelong players the reality that they will no longer run out behind the number 14, who's been the captain of that football club for 245 games of his 355 career. It's quite extraordinary. And, we know that Patrick Dangerfield is contractually obliged to only speak to Jared on this program, but now that Jared's away, we're sneaking right under his guard. Actually, before I introduce Patrick, does he have to go and change his name by D-poll?
Patrick Dangerfield.
Yeah, from Brownlow medalist Patrick Dangerfield to Premiership player, which has got more weight?
I think you can keep both, can't you?
Well, she's a long license. Paddy joins us on behalf of both Tim and I. Patrick, congratulations and well done. Well deserved. And your performance on Saturday along with your side was magnificent.
Thanks, guys. Thanks, Tim. Yeah, it's been a wonderful couple of days, albeit a very sad one yesterday, because it's one thing to sort of hear it and talk to him, but then the press conference and the realisation that someone that's been, you know, from a personal perspective, such an important figure won't be there in that capacity. It was quite extraordinary. I'm not really an emotional person. Wasn't emotional, to be honest, about the grand final. Like, it was wonderful, but there were no tears for it. Mm. But speaking about him and knowing that, you know, that was going to be, with everything that was happening, it looked like it was going in one direction. It's very, very difficult not to get emotional about Joel.
I can hear it in your voice, which is so good to be able to talk to you about this. I read everything and I watched everything, and one of the things that struck me was the anecdote about him going to the bench for the last time and preparing to come back on for what would be his final. And next to him was Sam De Koning, who's a young kid who probably is oblivious to everything else that's going around him other than winning a premiership, but looks at Joel, who's having a moment and getting teary and emotional, and it dawns on him, he goes, "This could be," and then just said to him, you can't stop playing. I thought that was unbelievable. I just summed it up beautifully. And I know what you're just saying there would be resonating throughout the whole group. But for a young kid who's only just started to play his career with Joel Selwood, the realisation that it ain't no more, that would have hit him hard.
Well, it does, because you want more out of him from a selfish perspective, because of what he gives. You know, that's the beauty of people like Joel. And there isn't too many that spend their life giving, that seem superhuman in an essence, that the way that they think is so much for and about others. Like, it really makes the rest of us at the club look terrible at times, because he just does things that it's like, oh yeah, that would have been a good thing to think of. And he includes, you know, X person here or whatever it might be. He's a magnificent person, and it was such a fitting ending for the contribution he's made, not only to the club, to the players, but the game more broadly.
Hey, Pete, he's going to leave a massive hole, and the more you hear from people like yourself, the more you realise this hole that's going to be left with the departure of Joel. What do you do as a group of players to fill that hole?
Well, it's no one player, Tim. I think it's the collective. And we've been really fortunate over a really long period of time. We've had a wonderful group of leaders, and you know, they've been so heavily impacted and guided by, you know, Joel's leadership. And before him, it was Cameron Ling. Before him, it was Tom Harley. So we've been really fortunate as a club to have such strong leaders. Quite incredible. The last three captains all go out as you know, premiership winners. So I think it's a collective responsibility to continue with the leadership that he's shown, not only the club, but the community and what it all means. So, you know, once we restart pre-season, I think it's that collective responsibility to continue to do it together and just be mindful that we don't have, you know, this guy who's been our, cultural centrepiece and and compass, you know, for what's right and what's wrong. He won't be there, so it's on all of us to make sure that we improve as much as we possibly can.
You know him a lot better than what we do. What do you think he will ultimately end up doing?
My sense is a bit of administration in some capacity. He's played the game for a really long time, so I think that would really suit him for a little while. Whether he wets his whistle around coaching really quickly, I'm not sure. Now I'm totally speculating, but I reckon he's probably ready for a little bit of a break in that capacity, but we won't be letting him go lightly, that's for sure. We'll try and keep him in some capacity because he just means so much. But obviously, it's his decision, but we'll try and tie his hands behind his back as much as we can and pull on the heartstrings as a club.
Just clarifying, Greg on our text has pulled me up. I said that he's obviously not going to be a senior coach next year. I meant he won't be senior coaching next year, Greg. Of course, he could go and be a senior coach if he wanted to be. He's got all those qualities, but I was sort of talking in the immediate future. Have you got a favourite story? Have you got a favourite Joel moment where you looked at it? And, you know, sometimes we hear about them, you know, weeks after or years after. And, you know, I even heard some stuff over the weekend from different ex-players that I hadn't heard who'd been out of the game. And I just love the stories that we don't get access to. Is there anything that jumps out for you?
Oh, there's so many, Gaz. I remember it was only a few weeks ago now, my 300th. And George is normally, my son that is, he's out there, he likes a little bit of fun and all that sort of thing, and he's very, very shy, so I brought them onto the ground, and both kids are, like, they're burrowing into me, and then I just said, mate, there's Jolly Boy, go and run to him, and as soon as he saw him, he ran halfway across the field, and I didn't, excuse me, realise at the time, but you know, you learn over the last couple of days what was going through his head at the time, knowing that this is going to be, you know, my last home game. He was getting quite emotional, and he said to me, George saved me, because I was welling up, and then all of a sudden the little man came over and embraced him and gave him just the biggest hug, and then you know, sang the song, and he had such a special little moment with Joel. And I think he doesn't realise it now, but I think he'll look back on those pictures and realise just how special it was that he got to spend that time with him.
That is a great story, Paddy. Can we just turn attention to you for 1 second? Because we spoke to Michael. I've been listening to Michael Gervais' podcast for a number of years now, and we spoke to him pre the grand final. We spoke to him post the grand final. We know that you hooked up with him at different times. I'm just interested. He addressed the players and then you followed up. What were you specifically hoping to achieve in having that personalised contact with Michael Gervais?
I wanted a bit more from everything, Tim, but I wanted a bit more around performance and the calmness around the task at hand, staying in the moment. And when people think of visualisation, and this is definitely me for a while, and I FaceTimed him yesterday and we were talking about it, visualization is not just viewing yourself in the moment of whatever it is that you're searching for in life, professionally, whatever it is. You know, it's not just visualizing yourself holding a cup. Visualization is so much more in terms of preparation. And I'll sort of let you in. Like, one of the things that that we've been talking about is visualizing yourself in the moment of performance, your arena, whatever that might be. So for me, it was standing in the middle of the MCG, center circle, looking around, the crowd's full, this is the moment. And then you picture yourself, you know, there's a couple of banners around, and I pictured these as smoke banners. So, you know, describe yourself in a couple of words. So I pictured myself as powerful, as explosive. And then you wrap yourself in those words. And for me, it was, well, I'm going to walk through these banners, and it's almost like this smoke is going to diffuse through every, you know, pore in my skin, through all of my being, and I can be nothing but that.
Yep.
And it was such a grounding for me, and it's the first time I probably really put time into this sort of thing. You can be nothing but powerful, nothing but explosive, nothing but poise is one of them, you know. And that sort of little grounding, you know, 2 hours before the game, just listening to it, just calm, and then it's showtime. And he's obviously, for those aware, and you guys had a couple of wonderful interviews with him. And I know you could talk for probably another couple of hours with him on air. Yeah. That's the hardest part about talking to Michael. You just want more. And he's been such a valuable asset for me around the mental side of the game.
Yeah, that's magnificent. That is a great story. Thank you for sharing it with us. And there are still some people out there that can't, and this is not a criticism, that can't quite get their head around all the visualisation stuff and being in the moment. But what you just spoke about then gave me some tingles, and it puts it all into perspective. We could talk to you for a long time too. Just one quick one I want to ask you. Someone text this through. Can you please ask Paddy on the coverage at the end of the game when you and Joel were hugging it out? This person seems to think that Joel was saying to you, "I promised you, I promised you." Is that correct?
Yes. Yep, he did. He said, "We'll get there. I promise you we'll get there." This is ages ago.
Yeah.
You know, we first met properly in a professional sense. You know, you shake hands at the end of games and whatnot, but properly sort of in 2014 rather. And we spoke then, and then after the game he said, "Promise you we'd win one." And we did, and achieved that after, you know, plenty of heartache. It's a privilege to play in big finals, but it's bloody hard as well because not too many, you know, return winners at the end of a season. But to finally achieve that with his guidance and his leadership and what he's meant to me, it's so special, boys.
Well, it doesn't get any better. You've paid a fantastic and beautiful tribute to the man, and we thank you for sharing some of the stories. And again, from us here, congratulations, mate. It was well-earned, well-deserved, and enjoy the off-season.
Thanks, guys. Thanks, team. Thanks for having me.
On you, Paddy.
Patrick Dangerfield.